Ark Encounter, the Creation Museum.
Both are more than just family destinations. They're resources to help you and your family deepen your understanding of the Bible. Wesley Wildman and Tony Vitagliano are taking that to another level with AFA at the Ark. October 31st through November 2nd, you'll get to learn from special presentations and a live panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. For all the details, visit afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am sitting across the table from somebody that hasn't been here, and it seems like forever, but it's just been a few weeks. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm excited to be healthy enough to be here. Have a voice. You know, no more laryngitis, which is always fun.
Yeah, we've had the sickness, what, for the last 4 weeks?
It seems like decades that we've been ill. You know how, you know, a day can be like 1,000 years? But between the two of us, we really have. We've like just kind of traded illnesses back and forth. Let's quit sharing.
Yeah, and then today is a big day for me as I'm having oral surgery right after the program. So it shouldn't be a big deal, but, you know.
Hey. Maybe you can lose some weight.
Minor surgery is what happens to other people.
That's
major
right.
Surgery is what happens to you.
Yes.
And so this
you're going to be just
this is
fine.
major. Well, I wanted to read to you from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. The scripture does not say. My friend David Allen makes the case that the writer of Hebrews is Luke. But we don't know that for sure. Some say Paul. Anyway, this is what it says. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We want to talk to you today about discernment, discerning deception in our day. We are swimming in a world and in a culture of lies and liars. So the big question, we've been talking about this for a long time on Real Truth for Today. How do you know what is true and what is false? I've given you some just some brief little life hacks. If you know it, if big government is pushing it, if big pharma is pushing it, if all the media outlets are pushing it and the late night talk shows are pushing it, that's a pretty strong indicator that's a lie. Whatever they're saying is a lie.
Especially when everything they say is the same from source to source to source. It doesn't vary at all.
They've gotten their talking points.
Yes, exactly. Beware.
Yeah. It was funny, I had mentioned this a few days back, but Axios, the news outlet, Axios, they were giving people grief for daring to call Kamala Harris the border czar. You know, she was never the border czar. And then somebody posted from Axios from just a couple of years ago where they called her the border czar. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we got that from you. So anyway, lies and liars, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, the Bible says, deceiving and being deceived. So the big question, how do you have discernment? How can you navigate through a sea of lies to know what is the truth?
Well, and I think, too, just understanding that we have to always be on guard because it's very easy to fall prey to a lie. I mean, to hear something and just think, well, that kind of tickles my ear. That kind of sounds good. I think this is what I see so often. It is to try and take something that's very black and white and gray it down. And to take something that should be very evident that this is a lie and weave explanations around it to make it more palatable. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, as believers, be constantly on guard for that. And the only way that we can truly be able to discern is through the Word of God. And, you know, Jeff, we were talking about that this morning. Discernment is listed as one of the spiritual gifts. And so there are people who have the gift of discernment, but every believer, because they have been, are being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and if you're in the Word, if you're studying God's Word, if you're in prayer, every believer should have discernment. Maybe not the gift of discernment, maybe not that depth of discernment, but every believer, discernment is at your fingertips. It is available to every believer.
Right. And so the scripture says the way you get discernment, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You have to practice. Mm-hmm. You have to spend time in the Word of God. We are playing an interview tomorrow that I did yesterday with Jeff Kinley, and he has written a new book about the end of the world according to Jesus, and this the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25. And he said, you know, we don't interpret that correctly so often. So many Christians don't, because he said the bottom line is so many Christians aren't reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, you come on Sundays and you hear a message, and you know, maybe once a week you're spending 2 or 3 minutes, or you're reading a little devotion or whatever, but you're not immersing yourself in the Word of God. So you have to practice. You have to spend time in the Word to know what it says. And Adrian Rogers used to talk about a lucky dip. You know, people would just, Lord, I need you to speak to me. They just open the Bible anywhere and just say, okay, what's the word for the day? That's not how you read the Bible. You start, you know, the Bible is 66 books. It's not one book, it's 66. But you start at the beginning and you see who's he writing to, what's the theme, what's the context, and then you discern it, you know, work through it that way. Because the Bible can't mean what it never meant. And it's not just something that you can, I'm going to take it over here, take it over there. It's got to have context.
Well, and I think what I see so often is that people want to pick and choose parts of the Bible that are helping their argument. And so, and it's like what you said, Jeff, they're not taking it the full context of the Word of God. And so I hear this so often about, you know, Jesus loved everybody. Well, yes, that's true. Jesus did love everybody, but that didn't mean he approved of everybody and all. He didn't approve of their sin. I mean, he came down with righteous indignation about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we hear that so often in terms of people just blasting believers, you know, how hypocritical are you that, you know, Jesus is all about love and we should love our neighbor and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, yes, that's true. But you have to take that in context and take the whole counsel of the Word of God, because there is a time that you have to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong.
Right.
This is wrong. And you have to have the courage to do that. And I was just, my last probably 5 or 6 days in my quiet time in the morning, I've been studying through the book of Esther, and today was talking about the fact that when Mordecai came to Esther and said, hey, listen, you know, if you don't do something, not only are all the Jews outside the walls of the palace going to face extermination, you yourself are going to face extermination. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, even in her fear of what the king might do, he might not, you know, point out the scepter to her to accept her into his court. She had to feel the fear and do it anyway. And there came a time when, okay, this isn't just affecting outside the walls. This isn't going to affect inside the walls of the palace. And so I think in our culture as believers, I feel like that's kind of where we are. For so long, we have, as believers and Christians, been more of the majority, and we are not any longer that. And so there's coming a time when it's like, okay, we've got to stand up and be counted.
Right. Yeah, I did a program Monday. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
And right.
Cultural Christianity is gone. Mm-hmm. And Tim Wildman said in a text thread that I was in with him and Jenna that, you know, Europe is about 20 years ahead of us. But when we went to England back in 2001, I think, we went to
Manchester, London, Huddersfield,
yeah. Whitfield had preached, and I remember the pastor there told me, he said that same thing. He said, we're about 20 years ahead of you. So what you see now in England, that's going to be you in 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when we were over there, it was like God had died. Mm-hmm. It was that God wasn't on the radar screen. They didn't even talk about him. They didn't think about him. It's just like, yeah, that's Old Testament. I mean, that's passé. That's mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. So it was really crazy. But, you know, Jesus said this idea that, boy, if we were just more like Jesus, that would just attract people like flies to honey, and they couldn't wait to hear us, and churches would be filled to the brim. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 to his disciples, hey, don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hate you because they hate me. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, I've called you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You start calling the world out for their sin, and they are going to hate you. And what do we see? We saw that post by this guy that starts, I'm a pastor, trying to give himself some credibility. I'm a pastor, and I have something to say about Christians.
And this is about the Olympics.
Yeah, the Olympics. Opening. And he's basically blasting Christians for expressing their outrage. I don't know what the thing was like, he said. I don't know what the Olympics were trying to represent. Who knows? You know, it's like, well, all the rest of us know, and they can say all they want that it didn't have anything to do with the Last Supper, and there's a word for that, baloney.
Right.
They knew exactly what they were going to do, and for this guy to—and people were just, you know, posting this everywhere, oh, this is a great reminder for us all, and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, okay, you have to have balance. So do we spew hate? Do we say, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to consume them, as James and John said to Jesus when they wouldn't let him in a Samaritan village? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So we don't, obviously we don't do that. But if you don't feel some righteous indignation when the Savior is mocked and when the table of the Lord is mocked, mm-hmm. something is seriously wrong with you.
Right. You know, and I read this in an article that said, when we compare what we hear or what we see with the truths found in the Bible, we can determine whether it aligns with God's character and his word. And I think that's where so many people get confused. They don't truly understand and know God's character, and they don't know what his word says. Because the Bible over and over again talks about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. I mean, if that's the big word, if you're going to ever describe God, it's not love, although he is love. It's not patience. It's not faithfulness. He's all those things, but it's holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm. That's what describes the Lord. And so to take the holiness of the Lord and mock it, and be able to excuse it away, you don't truly know the character of God. Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to what we said at the top of this segment, and that is we have to be in the Word, we have to be studying the Word, and we have to be asking the Lord to give us discernment, to help us see what is truly going on. And I know there are times when I may not know chapter and verse of why something is wrong, but I just sense in my spirit, watch out, something about this isn't right. The Holy Spirit kind of pricks me and says, listen, something about this isn't quite right. Don't buy into this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's with different speakers, that's with different books that you read, just whatever across mm-hmm. the board, because we have a lot of watered down Christianity today, where people, because they don't truly understand the character of God, they kind of water down his truth, his righteousness, what his love truly looks like.
Right. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, 2 Timothy 3:13, deceiving and being deceived. So we have to have discernment in these days of deception. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful, wonderful wife, Debbie, and she has been out for the last several weeks, and so it's so good to have her back. And we are talking about this subject, and we're going to open the phone lines in a little bit when we come back, and so we'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. Discerning deception, how can you and I overcome, identify, and overcome the lies? You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We're talking about discernment today. How can you have discernment in a day and age of lies and deception? Well, you're only going to have it if you spend time in the Word. Solid food, Hebrews 5:14, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So Debbie had mentioned about she'll read something or see something, and there's just a sense. Your senses are trained to say something is not right here. You may have difficulty putting your finger on it, but you know, I think Debbie has a spiritual gift from the Lord of discernment in addition. So she would always tell me about people or situations. I don't know what's not right, but something's not right here.
Right.
She's like, she's like Spider-Man. She had her spidey senses.
That's right. Well, I don't know about Spider-Man, but and I remember early on in our marriage, you just would bombard me with questions. Just, well, what if, well, why this? And I'd be like, I don't know. But over the course of these 30 plus years, you have realized
I've learned if you say, you know, I don't hire anybody till you sign off on them. And I remember I was getting ready to make a hire and you said, don't do that. You're going to regret that. And so I've learned to say, okay, I'm going to heed your advice because you have the ability to see things and your senses are trained to discern good and evil. But how do you combat the lies? Well, you combat lies with truth. And our job as Christians is to speak the truth in love. And so we speak to our culture, we speak the truth in love. We don't speak in hate, we speak in love. And real love does not lie to people. Some were saying, I think J.D. Greer said this, and this made me want to puke. It's like, you know, if people want us to use their preferred pronouns, we need to use their preferred pronouns because that's showing them love.
That's just like entering into the vortex of their dysfunction.
Yeah, it's like you don't ever love somebody by lying to them and by going with their quote-unquote preferred pronouns. You don't get to choose your pronouns. You're an XY male. Hey, your pronouns are he and him. And it's always been like that, and it'll always be like that unless you live in some fantasy world. You know, just because you put on a cape and a big red S on your chest doesn't mean you can climb to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off without consequence and harm. You're going to hit the ground splat. I don't care what you believe. So the power of truth. Now, also, Debbie, testing the spirits. The Bible says, don't believe every spirit. 1 John 4:1. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So when you hear somebody on television, on radio, in the church, you need to be a Berean. You need to do what they did, Acts 17:11. They were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, and then they would go home and examine the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I always tell people, hey, when you hear me preach, you go back. I provide you sermon notes. You go back. You search the scripture. You say, is Pastor Jeff telling me the truth? Is this what the scripture says?
Well, because so often things can sound really good. I mean, you have people that are writing books, that are on the radio, that are on TV, that are using scriptures to back up their point, but they're taking things out of context. And so you do have to be extremely discerning and test those spirits. And another thing that I think is really important is to just set some boundaries for yourself. And there are certain situations, maybe certain relationships that if you are engaged in those things, you're putting yourself in a position to be deceived. And so you have to be guarded with that. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from that. And so we have to take the initiative in making sure that we set up guards for ourselves, and that we make sure that we don't put ourselves in situations where we can just be inundated with deception. And I was thinking about that. We talked about this at dinner last night. After all of this stuff with the opening Olympic ceremony, I mean, Facebook has just blown up with people having all kinds of opinions all over the board. And I have found that when I start looking at those things, I just find myself getting agitated, because I'm just so disappointed in the fact that so many people are not seeing things correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, that they have been deceived themselves. And, you know, like we talked about, where they want to excuse everything away, and they don't, even though there were some marvelous things and beautiful things that took place in that opening, the fact that God was mocked in such a powerful way supersedes those things.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah,
so I don't
and
know
so it's
place.
Like, you know, I have found myself, as I read some of these comments on Facebook, my blood pressure actually goes up. And so I just thought, you know, my life is just too short for this. I'm just going to get off of Facebook for a while until all of this settles down, because I don't want to put myself in a position to be reading all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a waste of my time. And truth be told, I don't need to worry about anybody else's opinion. I need to go to the Word of God, and His opinion is what counts.
Well, I think there's a balance with that. So, you know, the scripture says, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is filled with both of those things, full of grace, full of truth. We tend to fall on either side of those. Mm-hmm. And so when we see an issue, if you were truth oriented, maybe over and above the grace orientation, you're going to fall on the side of blasting this. Mm-hmm. If you're grace oriented, you're going to fall on the side of excusing that. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have balance in those. And I think everybody struggles with one side or the other.
Right.
You know, my deal is more truth, and I have to constantly remind myself of grace. And I think this comes too with preaching versus talking to someone one-on-one. You know, Facebook or social media, that's like, I don't really know how that is, because I'm talking to these people I don't even know half the time. And, you know, it's hard to convey tone in text. That's why face-to-face is so much better. But, you know, preaching is truth. You speak the truth in love. It's truth in love. One-on-one is love in truth. It's the lead foot is going to be love. It's going to be grace. you don't back down from the truth, but I'm not coming at you to take your head off with the truth. And preaching is like, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. So I can come hard with the truth, speaking it in love, that the Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to go this way because it's going to lead to disaster. And if you don't get saved, it's going to lead to everlasting hell. But you need to kind of shock some people into reality at that point. And so I think that's a good thing for people to remember. When you're dealing with people that have been deceived, they don't see things the way you see it. And one of the things that, you know, that social media does do, it does give Christians an opportunity to share and to say, hey, this is how we need to view this situation. And then others will come back, the grace people will come back with, how dare you, that's hateful, blah, blah, blah. You know, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. So real love, biblical love, never rejoices in unrighteousness. What took place in the Olympics, like I said, I didn't watch the opening ceremonies. I haven't watched any of the Olympics. I'll catch some clips here or there of the basketball, but you know, for the people that watched it, I know Chris Schroeder, he and his wife and their two girls, hey, we're going to watch this. It's the opening of the Olympics. And then you have to explain to your 10-year-old and 8-year-old what's going on. Daddy, why is this? Is that a woman? Is that a... They don't know what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And so it was just debauchery. They want to say, well, we weren't depicting the Last Supper. It's like whatever you were depicting was gross, mm-hmm. you know, and we were picking the false god Dionysus. Well, that's just sickening anyway. Why would you do that? We're going to exalt false gods? It doesn't make any sense at all. And parents did have to explain that to their children. What is this that I'm seeing?
Well, and I, going back to the Facebook issue, I think for me, I have a much harder time compartmentalizing all of that. And so it just starts weighing heavy on me. So if I'm too engaged in Facebook and reading all these different opinions, it weighs heavy on me, and I'm not able to just compartmentalize that off and go on throughout my day. So my rational mind tells me, listen, it is not wise for you to be engaged in this. And, you know, I was thinking about that in terms of just the difference between having knowledge and having wisdom, because we can know a lot of facts, but wisdom is what gives us the ability to take those facts and apply them appropriately to our lives. And so for me, part of the wisdom is, okay, I know me, and I know it is not a good thing for me to be engaged in reading these things. It's not good for me to do that because it ends up weighing me down, and it just kind of
puts you in a bad mood.
It opens the door for me to allow Satan in to put other thoughts in my mind that I know are not rational. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, I'm not saying it's across the board for everybody, because you are able to compartmentalize that a lot more and kind of emotionally separate yourself from it. And I'm just not able to do that. This girl is a bowl of spaghetti. Everything's just intermingled.
Yeah. Well, one thing for me, you know, God's called us as Christians to warn people to flee from the wrath to come. We are watchmen on the wall. We call things out. We tell people, hey, they're... Judgment is coming, but there's a Savior, and you can put your faith and trust in Him, and He loves you, and He'll save you and change your life. We don't argue necessarily. We're not called. Some people are a specific ministry where they're going to argue back and forth, but for most of us, we're just called to be a witness. What does a witness do? A witness doesn't argue on the witness stand. He just tells what he's seen and heard. If people don't want to hear it, or they want to argue with you, you're like, okay, well, then... That's your choice if you don't want to believe this. But I'm not going to get into this shouting match with you and start saying, well, your mother wears army boots. You know, you go ad hominem, attack the man. So I think we need to remember that. And I think online people can say some really cutting, mean, awful things to people they don't even know.
Right.
And assign motives to people they don't know. It's like, how would you know that? Mm-hmm. You don't even know who I am. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to be careful when it comes to that.
Yeah, and again, that takes discernment to be able to do that, and to just know, like for me, it's like, okay, that's a boundary that I have to put in place, you know. And I was thinking about that, you know, because I've read a couple of things where people are like, you know, if you watch the Olympics at all, you just shouldn't even be watching it at all because of this open ceremony. It's like, okay, you know, that's probably taking things just a little too far, but we do have to, we are called on by the Lord to have discernment and to discern right from wrong. And for me, that's just a boundary that I have to kind of put in place.
And one of the good ways that our listeners can gain discernment, obviously by reading the Word of God, by being in a good, solid church where you're hearing the truth taught in a Bible study class and preached from the pulpit, and then your group of friends. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're around, he who walks with wise men will be wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you hang out with guys that are seeking and girls that are seeking the Lord and are praying to God for wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. You can get guidance from them that will be strong and solid. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but an abundance of counselors, there is victory. So we bring those things. Hey, I'm struggling with this, or I don't know how to interpret that. What do you think? You know, it's just like the big issues of life, having discernment when it comes to choosing a spouse. You can get a lot of help from people who love you, your parents, your friends, people that are kind of outside the situation that can say, okay, well, here's some things that I see that you may not see, because love is blind.
Very much so. Yeah, and I think too, you know, in this day and age in which we're living, and I think we're seeing this more and more, as the approaching day of the Lord's return draws near, things are just going to continue to get worse. Mm-hmm. And so we have to guard our inner circle, because even within the body of believers, people are going to see things differently. And so I think that's part of discerning is, you know, I was talking to Chris Schroeder about this just the other day. It's like, you know, 2-3 decades ago, Christians were in the majority and everybody else was the other than. Well, as the day of the Lord approaches, we are fastly becoming the other than. Everybody else is in the majority now. We're the other than. And so to stand up for the Word of God, just like with Esther, that takes courage to do that. And, you know, she fasted and prayed. She didn't go do what she did willy-nilly.
Right.
You know, she was prepared for it. And so,
and she was willing to give her life.
Yeah. And so we in turn have to be prepared for that as well.
Right. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about how to have discernment and how to grow and being able to navigate through the lies of our culture. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, how God gave you discernment in a situation, in a circumstance, we'd love to hear about it. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about how to have discernment. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Interesting in that passage, Hebrews 5:14, senses trained to discern good and evil. The Hebrew words there are kalos and kakos. Kalos, what is good, evil, kakos, what is bad, and they're very similar. It's one letter off. And so having discernment is the ability to see something that, as Debbie said earlier, you know, the devil's lies can look really good and they can be extremely plausible. Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, it could just be one letter off. And so the ability to discern between kalos, what is good, kakos, what is evil. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I have a question. There's a Bible verse that says, judge not that you be not judged.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say about that with relation to discernment? I mean, and there, but by the grace of God, there go I, if mm-hmm. I judge someone for something. And I'm just confused.
Yeah, good question. Okay, so we're not the judge. God is the judge. He alone is the judge. Romans 14, who are you to judge the servant of another, the scripture says. We don't judge our neighbor. But it's kind of like this, Ann. So if you and I are driving in a car, and you're driving, and we're in a school zone, and you're driving 75 miles an hour in the school zone, and I say to you, Ann, the speed limit is 20 miles an hour. And you look at me and you say, well, who are you to judge me? I say, well, I'm not judging you. I'm not the police pulling you over and giving you a ticket. I'm telling you what the speed limit is. And so I'm just telling you this is the situation. That's not judgment. That is helpful information, hopefully encouragement, can be correction, but we're not judging. Now, Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So do not judge lest you be judged. Well, we do judge, but we have to judge with righteous judgment. And we are not the judge. We are here to warn people that the judge is coming. And if Jesus is not your Savior, he is coming as your judge. And that's going to be a horrible, terrible thing. So that's the difference. We're not sitting in the seat of the judge. We are trying to warn people that judgment is coming. So I hope that's helpful, because we, you know, that verse is used all the time. Well, judge not lest you be judged, judge not lest you be judged. And it's not, people don't understand what they're saying there, because we are to tell people the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. We're not the judge. The Lord is the judge. But we know what the judge has said about this. Just like if you're going 75 in a school zone, we know that if the police are there, you're going to get pulled over because you are grossly violating the law. And that's what we are encouraging people not to do.
Well, I think, too, we've talked about this before, Jeff. We can't get inside someone's heart to know what is motivating them. So we can't judge someone's motives. Only the Holy Spirit has the ability to do that. But we can judge fruit. We can look at a tree and say, this is an apple tree, and the apples on this tree are healthy, edible apples. We are given the freedom to do that. And that goes back to, you know, Jeff, just what you were saying. It's like you're stating facts, you're stating truth, and there is a difference between that. And I have seen so often, and it goes back to the difference between grace and truth, people who are really heavy on the side of grace have a more of a propensity to see truth people as being judgmental. So a grace person can state their opinion, and everyone should just know that that's their opinion and be okay with it. But when a truth person states their opinion, all of a sudden they're castigated for being judgmental. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen that recently on Facebook so much. It's like, okay, hey, I'm stating my opinion, and don't get offended by it. I'm not necessarily offended by your opinion. You have the freedom to state that. And so there is that tension, again, just like we talked about at the top of the hour, between the grace and truth, and balancing those things out.
Yeah. Is that helpful, Ann?
Yes. What was that Bible verse you just quoted about Jesus saying judge about 3 minutes ago? You said it.
Oh, that's John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And the other thing, too, so where that comes from, do not judge lest you be judged, is from Matthew 7. And then he goes on to say, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And he's talking about that, and he talks about the speck. You know, you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. So it's the context of that is hypocrisy. You're judging people for things that you're doing even worse. You know, you're getting on people for being hateful. We see this on the left all the time. You know, they decry, you know, you're intolerant, you hate people, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're the ones that hate people to the max. They're intolerant of any Christian opinion. They can't stand it. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's funny. They're saying about J.D. Vance that he's weird. And people have been showing pictures that, well, his views are weird. He's got a wife and two kids. And then the left has, you know, Kamala Harris with these drag queens. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, who's weird in this scenario? You know, be careful what you're saying about people. So I think it's in the context of a hypocritical judge. You need to deal with the sin in your own life before you start fixing everybody else's. So that's also in the mind of the Lord there. But I appreciate that, Ann. Thanks for calling in. Otis from Texas, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, how you doing this morning, sir?
Doing good, Otis. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I love the idea when you and your wife come on together. Your wife said something extremely interesting about a cell phone and Facebook and stuff like that. And I admire you guys because me and my wife used to be in the Lord together. And years back, she heard someone said something in church and it offended her. Hmm. And I told her, I said, honey, look, people have their opinion. They're going to say what they want to. Unfortunately, it's in the church setting. But I love you. We must go on praising the Lord. And it bothered her so much that now it's been some like 6 years and we don't go to church together anymore. And when I go to church, I see other couples there. And it's kind of hurtful, sir.
Sure.
And, you know, the thing about it is that we have a grandson we're raising. Recently, I asked her, is it possible I could put the Ten Commandments in this room in a wonderful display on a child's level? And she told me no. And honestly, it hurt me to my heart.
Yeah.
And so when I talked to my son in South Carolina, and I mentioned to him, he said, well, Dad, I don't know why she said that. I'm quite sure she got a reason. And like I told him, what reason would she have not for us to put the Word of God in our grandson? So help me understand that. So I always keep her lifted up in prayer.
Yeah.
Me and my grandson, we go on to church and Sunday school. I'm his Sunday school teacher. And so I'm able to empathize how much God loves him as well as other children as well. But when I hear you guys on the radio as a couple, it's real hurtful because I know we used to be there.
Yeah. I hate that for you, Otis. That is extremely painful. Well, it sounds like your wife really let some hurtful things get in and make her, you know, when people say bitter, hurtful things, the challenge is to not let those things make you bitter. And it sounds like that she allowed that to come in. And so she's just bitter at anything related to the Lord and the church and people in the church, and people in the church can say and do mean things, but you know, one of the things that's imperative for Christians, especially pastors, you have to have thick skin and a tender heart. You can't let the things people say, you know, knock you for a loop where it just kind of knocks you out of the race. And it sounds like your wife's been knocked out of the race and she needs to get back into it. So I would, I know you're praying for her. I would just encourage you to pray this, but pray, Lord, soften her heart and give me the opportunity to speak to her so that we could really uncover this, because it's kind of like, you know, you've buried toxic waste. Toxic waste is always going to cause trouble. You got to get it out of the ground and dealt with. And so the hurt that she's carrying is poisoning things in your life, in your relationship, and in your family, because, you know, she's just so angry and bitter and hurt, and she's got to process through that so that she can release that. And so I would just encourage you to do that, and you know, when you see couples in and it makes you sad, just say, Lord, I'm trusting you that I'm going to have that again one day with my wife, that you're going to be working in this situation, because you're the God who loves her, you love our marriage, you love our family, you're going to work in her in such a way that she's going to come back to you, and that we're going to be able to worship together again one day and be like that couple that I see. And so use it as a motivation to pray, and then to praise the Lord, trust him, thank him for what he's going to do as a result. So I'll be praying for you too, Otis, on that. So may God bring the victory. Well, we have Roy from New Hampshire on the program. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff. How you doing this morning?
You're doing good, Roy. How are you?
Yeah, you're fine. I just went to some scripture that me and my wife read yesterday, and it says in Titus chapter 1, and it says, we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that it has been taught, so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And for there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those that are circumcision, group of circumcision. I know that was kind of referring to Jewish believers, but at the same time, we as believers, we are the new circumcision. We are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And we talk about discernment. Christ said, I forget the scripture where it says that if Jesus delays in his return, if he delays in his return, the very elect of us would be deceived. So we have to have discernment. I attend a church, and I was telling the lady that came on, I said, I attend a church, and most of the people that attend our church are over the age of 45. And you have a lot of divorced people, and you have a lot of people that have lost their spouse due to death. So, and then we have couples that are dating. And I had breakfast with a buddy of mine who attends the church, and I said, people should be getting married. Mm-hmm. If you're dating, you should be getting married. Oh, churches should, a healthy church in my mind, weddings should be taking place. People should be getting married. Nobody wants to be alone for forever. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Help me understand this.
No, I agree with you. It's it's important to date long enough to where you really know this person, and you do the vetting process, and you know, you really discern the plan of God, the will of God there. But you can date too long, and then you can get yourself into trouble sexually, because you know, one of the things about falling in love is that you want to be with that person physically, and so it's better to marry than to burn, the Bible says, and to burn with passion. So I agree with you, Roy. Couples that they need to date, they need to date in groups. I think dating in groups is a safer way to do it, so you don't have tons of alone time. But once you find that person that the Lord has for you, and then you need to tie the knot and get married and start having kids, and just that's the best of life. I wouldn't trade my relationship with Debbie and my family for anything, not for all the tea in China, as the saying goes, and not for all the money in the world, because this is marriage and family is a little slice of heaven. Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And Debbie, thanks for coming on. And now we go to the oral surgeon for a tooth extraction and an implant, and so all those fun things. So as the Lord brings you to mind, pray for me and go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.